Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Listen to SpursCast, episode 494. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of SpursCast. I'm going solo for this episode 494, so let's go ahead and jump into the Spurs' 103-90 Game 4 win over the Golden State Warriors Sunday in San Antonio, where the Spurs have kept their season going with the win. Now they're down 1-3 in the series against Golden State. Let's first begin with a quick recap of the game. Basically, the Spurs came out with a lot more energy in this game. They actually made their shots, and there was a lot of different players that stepped up. The ball moved defensively. They made some different matchups, which I will get into in detail in a little bit. And then you saw Manu Ginobili there close the fourth quarter out for San Antonio in only the ways that Manu can do. So in the first quarter, the Spurs got a pretty comfortable lead. They went up by 10 with 1:34 left in that quarter. By the second quarter, they had their biggest lead of the game at 17. With about 2:39 left before halftime. They walked into halftime with a 14-point lead. In the third quarter, they kind of had a pretty good edge against the Warriors for most of the third quarter, but Golden State did get it down to 6, the lead, at the end of the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, the Warriors made their biggest push, where they got the Spurs' lead down to 2 points with 5:57 left, and that's when Manu Ginobili basically put the team on his shoulders, and San Antonio relied on their defense as the Spurs outscored the Warriors 15-4 to close the game. During that stretch, in the last 6 minutes, Manu put in 10 points, and the Spurs walked off the AT&T Center floor with a 103-90 win in their pockets. So now the series does move to Game 5 on Tuesday back in Oakland, for where the Warriors will be at home. So let's go ahead and get through some more detailed analysis of what happened in this game. I know I've been doing the adjustments afterward, but I'm going to kind of mix in the adjustments and what went well for San Antonio on both ends of the floor to kind of keep them both in the same topic area. So after rewatching the entire game, watching the film, here were a few adjustments that the Spurs made that I saw on defense and that really helped. The first one was the matchups that they finally moved. This is something that myself and some of the guests that I've had on in the past during the series have been mentioning since game one, basically. After game one, a lot of us were wondering, why is Patty Mills still guarding Klay Thompson? And then, of course, in game two, Patty had to guard him again. And then game three, everyone had just basically been saying, why not put more length on him? Why not put somebody like Danny Green, who's 6'6", basically almost Klay's size, give him a chance, or maybe give Rudy Gay or even DeJounte Murray? Well, the Spurs finally made some switches on defense. They had Rudy Gay guard Kevin Durant. They had Danny Green guard Klay Thompson right from the tip-off. Then they put Patty Mills on Andre Iguodala, who's not a shooter, so Patty could kind of play off him a little bit. He's not going to really attack Patty unless he's calling for a pick and roll, which that's not really happening because a lot of the Warriors' playbook goes through KD and Klay Thompson. And then they lived with DeJounte Murray on Draymond Green. Now, even though Draymond has more size than Murray, it's not a huge difference in terms of length and height. Draymond's only about 6'8", and Murray's 6'5", and then when you think about Murray's wingspan, it's not too much of a mismatch for Murray. And also, I think if you're the Spurs, you would want the Warriors running their possessions through Draymond rather than Kevin Durant or Iguodala or Klay Thompson. So in a way, even though the Warriors might see some sort of mismatches with Iguodala and Draymond, they're still not going to put the ball in their hands, because they still know that their efficiency and all their points comes from KD and Klay. So that was one big area of focus for the Spurs, was making those type of matchups. Kevin Durant, still got his 34 points, 13 rebounds, but Rudy Gay did a very good job of guarding him. So did Kyle Anderson when he came in off the bench. LaMarcus Aldridge had a switch onto Durant a few times, and even he contested his shots well. He had a block on him on a drive. So KD does shoot 43%. She shoots 12 of 28 from the floor and even 4 of 13 from three. So, you know, he's going to get, like I've mentioned on, in pretty much every podcast, he's going to get his points. There's nothing you can do without Kawhi Leonard to limit Kevin Durant. The guy's going to score. The best thing you can do is just contest his shots. And, you know, he's not always going to shoot over 50% from the floor. And as you saw in this game, he ended up shooting 43%. And, you know, if you're the Spurs, you're going to take that. One thing that the Spurs did do well, as I mentioned, was make Danny Green guard Klay Thompson. You know, just putting a guy who's 6'6 on a 6'7 shooter. Green's fast enough to kind of has good communication skills in terms of chasing Klay off different screens. Klay doesn't have that post-up advantage that he has against Patty Mills or Bryn Forbes when Danny Green's guarding him. And then even when Danny sat down, you saw Kyle Anderson get some possessions against Klay, and even though Anderson doesn't have the foot speed to keep up with Klay, he has that recovery speed and kind of just gets in Klay's way, where you saw Klay shooting a lot of fadeaway jumpers. He always had hands in his face if he was trying to take some of his open shots. And I mean, not open shots, if he was trying to take some shots. And then even the ones that he did get wide open, he rarely made those, because at that point his confidence, his shooting stroke just wasn't there after shooting contested looks for most of the game. So Klay finishes with 12 points on a 4 of 16 shooting, 2 of 6 from three. And again, you're not going to hold him below 10 points. But the thing you can do is just try to keep him below, you know, at least below 20. If the Spurs can do that to Klay Thompson, that's definitely a win for them. They can't be letting him go off for about 20 to like 30 points like he had been doing in games 1, 2, and 3, where he was getting some really good shooting numbers. And then kind of something that I wrote down is, like I've kind of been mentioning throughout all the podcasts, is you have to live with other Warriors beating you if you're San Antonio. You have to kind of risk that gamble. Let Draymond Green, let JaVale McGee, Andre Iguodala, Livingston, Looney, David West, Quinn Cook. You have to let those guys try to beat you. And of course, in this game, it didn't work. Those other Warriors, basically players not named Durant or Thompson, shot 18 of 46 in the game overall, which is 39%. So if you're San Antonio, hey, you know, as long as it's not Durant or Thompson, you're going to let those other players try to beat you, and you got to live with that that risk. And for the Spurs in this game, it did pay off, and that's something that I think that they should continue to try to do going into game 5. One thing you saw from the Spurs was their physicality. They really increased their ball pressure, and it really took Golden State out of sync a little bit offensively, where the Warriors had some uncharacteristic turnovers, just missing passes off cuts and different scenarios where guys are usually in the right place at the right time. They were off just by a few seconds, and so the Spurs' defense had a lot to do with that. They were really playing the passing lanes well. Also on those Durant pocket passes out of the pick and roll, the Spurs were really active with their hands and body in terms of getting some deflections. So the Warriors did turn the ball over 16 times, which helped the Spurs score 21 points on the other end. So that's obviously something that the Spurs need to try to do, is bring that same level of intensity on defense to Oakland for game 5, because, you know, in this situation, the Spurs were, you know, they were basically, on the verge of falling out of the playoffs. So maybe there was a lot of emotion that they played with, in that type of winner go home attitude. So they really, and plus they had their home fans there, and the crowd was really loud. I was there at the building. So they got to try to bring that again, that same type of intensity for game 5. One thing I also mentioned was, they got to try to box out better. The Warriors did win the edge on the glass 61-34. They had 24 offensive rebounds. Golden State did. The good thing for San Antonio is that their defense was so good that they limited the Warriors to only 13 second chance points. The Spurs actually outscored them in second chance points, even though Golden State had 24 offensive rebounds. But again, you don't want to give this Warriors team many possessions. If not, they will. Overall, it's going to end up hurting if you're the opposing team. Some other top standout players for the Warriors. Basically, Livingston had 10 points off the bench, 5-9 shooting. So it was really just Durant, Klay and Livingston. And again, Klay had a rough shooting night, and so did Durant. So you really would just want to try to keep Klay as limited as possible. Some other notes I wrote after watching the film: you got to try to get Murray minutes. DeJounte Murray, you know, he's so long and active defensively. He had a steal, he had a block, but it's also that just the fact that he has a lot of length that he helps your defense with. He can recover different cover a lot more space than maybe putting Tony Parker in there or Bryn Forbes. So Murray was able to stay on the floor because he was contributing offensively. We'll get into that in a little bit, but him being a factor offensively helped Coach Messina keep him in the game and at least play him 27 minutes, which is the most he's played in the series in a single game. So again, keeping Murray on the floor does help the Spurs' defense overall. One thing, some other notes I wrote were Kyle Anderson, you know, played well defensively when in the minutes he got guarding both Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant, whether he, no matter who he was switched onto. So maybe you get him some more minutes. You know, unlike the unfortunate thing for Anderson, though, is he doesn't have that outside shot that Murray does have right now in this series. And then also I wrote Spurs should probably watch their transition defense. There was a few possessions where the Spurs would score and the Warriors would get out on the break, even after made baskets for San Antonio. So that's something that even if you made a really good shot, a crazy shot, if you're San Antonio, you got to get back on the other end, because the Warriors did get 15 points out on the break, and that's a big part of the Spurs just not getting back, even after they score. Some other notes defensively. Again, just keep those keep the matchups that the Spurs made. One thing I would anticipate is I think that, because Mills is probably going to start again, I think the Warriors will try to still target him in a way. I think maybe in Game 5 you're going to see more Iguodala setting screens for Durant, so that way Durant can try to get some sort of switches with Mills guarding him, or even Klay might Iguodala might set more pin-down action for Klay so that Klay can get Mills back on him. So I think that's something to watch if you're San Antonio, is that I don't think the Warriors are just going to let the Spurs, you know, leave Mills or DeJounte on Draymond and Iggy the whole time. I think they're going to try to exploit those two players, especially Mills in some sort of facet during Game 5. Another key for adjustment for San Antonio is just defensively is, again, try to limit Klay Thompson. You know, it's tough to do, but they did a really good job of it. And I think just by starting off with Danny Green guarding him, you give yourself a chance of doing that. And then, again, crash the boards. Let's go ahead and move into the Spurs' offense in this game. LaMarcus Aldridge is their leading scorer, 22 points on 19 shots, 37% shooting, also 10 rebounds. Off the bench, as I mentioned, Manu Ginobili with 16 points and 5 assists. Again, 10 of those points for Manu came in the fourth quarter. Kyle Anderson came off the bench with 10 points. Rudy Gay had 14, and then DeJounte Murray with 12 for San Antonio. So they had multiple scorers in double figures. Their box score kind of looked like what the Warriors have been seeing. It's almost like the opposite of what games 1, 2, and 3 were, which is that San Antonio had more double-digit scores rather than Golden State. So some notes I wrote down after watching the film offensively. You know, it's easier said than done, as I said in the last podcast, but make open shots. And this is something that, you know, you don't know how much you can hang your hat on if you're the Spurs, of this happening again, of replicating this kind of performance from the beyond the arc, because coming into this game, as I had mentioned in the last episode, the Spurs were 9 of 44 on wide open threes, 21%. That's all they were making. In this one game, Game 4, they shot 10 of 16 on wide open threes, 63%. So basically, you know, they shot one better in just one game than they had all series on wide open threes. And again, you don't know if that's something that you can just count on if you're San Antonio, because again, they hadn't done it in those past three games. I had that argument last time of trying to figure out why they were missing so many shots. And my argument was that it was fatigue. Maybe they were just tired, because you saw a lot of their threes in the first three games kind of clanking the front of the rim. But, you know, after watching this game, you do have to wonder if that still an issue. Maybe, again, that adrenaline, that kick of playing in an elimination game just kind of fills your whole body. So maybe you do have more spry legs and you're putting more emphasis into your jump shots in terms of getting more bounce. So if they can, again, shoot a decent percentage, maybe not, you know, what did they shoot? They shot 15 of 28 overall from three, 54%. They're probably not going to shoot that again in Oakland on in Game 5. But if you can just shoot a decent amount, you know, a decent percentage, like 35, 36%, that's a pretty good percentage to keep you into the game, especially from three-point range. You know, this is how crazy this game was for them from three. They made 15 of 28 threes, as I mentioned, 54%. According to the Spurs, one of the Spurs' PR personnel, he said that that's the second most threes they've ever made in a playoff in a playoff game. Their franchise record is 16. So the Spurs go from shooting 21%, from shooting 24% overall in the series to one night they just shoot 54% and make almost set a franchise record for made threes. So again, I don't think that if you're the Spurs, you can count on that. But for now, if the Warriors are giving you open threes and you're San Antonio, you have to take them. A guy like DeJounte Murray has a lot of confidence right now from the long ball, especially in the corners. He's 4 or 5 in the series. LaMarcus Aldridge hadn't attempted any threes, and he went 3 of 3 from the three-point arc in Game 4. One of those obviously was a lucky one where he made that bank shot off over Draymond with the clock winding down. But the other two, a corner three and then also a spot-up three, were wide open, and that's something that he can really help Rudy Gay out or DeJounte Murray out by spacing the floor more often. I think if you're the Spurs from three, this is also mentioned on Twitter from a follower, was you want to try to kind of just aim for a certain number. I think that if they can get to that 9 to 10 range, it's going to really help them out in terms of trying to win the ball game. Because if you look at their regular season data, when they made about close to 9 throughout the season, they got that was their average for wins, 9 made threes. Whereas when they lost, it was about 7 made threes. So that's something that, again, just try to get to that 9 to 10 range of made threes if you're San Antonio, and you'll put yourself in pretty good position from the long ball. Somebody else who's been shooting well is also Patty Mills. He's now 9 of 25 overall from three in the series, which is 36%. So again, Patty's at least in terms of being above league average, he's there for the Spurs, and he's obviously when he gets his confidence, when he makes about 2 threes, I mean he has it ready to go. His shot, you saw him do about 2 pull-ups there where the Warriors kind of just backed off him a little bit, and that was it. He was pulling and he made some of those threes. Some other notes I wrote, continue to let Rudy Gay attack one-on-one. If the clock's dying down, he's one of the Spurs' best isolation players with Kawhi Leonard out. And then Rudy had some good dribble penetration ability in terms of when the Warriors would try to close out on his outside shots. He was pretty good about driving in and trying to get to the free throw line, passing to open teammates as well. Some things that LaMarcus did pretty well, when he had a one-on-one matchup, he attacked quicker with spacing. So if the Warriors weren't all around him, and there was a few possessions where he did have just like a one-on-one matchup, he was pretty good to attack it really quickly. But then you did see at different times the Warriors would throw some doubles at him, and even some of those extreme traps where they threw about 2 defenders and try to kind of get him trapped in the corner. So that's something, again, where the Warriors will throw some mixed types of coverages at LaMarcus, but he will have an easier night the more that his teammates make threes. If they continue to make some threes, Golden State's going to have to guard from the outside, which is going to let LaMarcus go to work on the inside. So again, a lot of LaMarcus's game is predicted based upon what happens from the outside for San Antonio. Some other notes I wrote here, Kyle Anderson played well off the bench, like I mentioned, especially cutting off the ball. There was about 2 possessions where he caught some alley-oops from Pau Gasol, throwing kind of that high-low action, but and more so because Kyle was cutting off the ball. So that's, again, something you want to watch if you're Kyle Anderson. Sorry, I apologize for the ambulance. There's obviously some sort of emergency around where I live. Anyway, Kyle Anderson, yeah. So cutting off the ball, Kyle did pretty good there. Because, again, he's not a shooter from the outside, so the Warriors are going to kind of treat him how they were treating Murray. So if he's not going to take that spot-up open corner three or above the arc three, then the best thing for him to do is kind of just keep cutting, keep staying active so that he can find himself under the rim for some attempts. He had a really nice possession late in the fourth quarter where he kind of took Kevin Durant off the dribble on a closeout. And it's almost like I tweeted, he slowed down time, and he got Durant basically jumping up ahead of him, and then Kyle made that little hook shot inside. One thing Coach Messina's continued to do well in both games that he's been the head coach is he's staggered the minutes of LaMarcus and Rudy Gay. He's really tried to keep one of those two players on the floor for San Antonio in any minutes when one is sitting, just because it really helps them out having two guys that could kind of create their own shot. Obviously their two best scorers in terms of shot creation. So that's something that he's continued to do well, and I think that the Spurs will continue to implement that strategy in Game 5. Something else I wrote here was Tony Parker is continued to stay aggressive coming off the bench. You know, after his 16-point performance in Game 3, he followed that up with 9 points off the bench in 16 minutes in Game 4. And what you need from Parker is he needs to win those minutes against Quinn Cook. So Parker in this game outscored Cook 9-4. It looks like Tony's got his type of his confidence, his swagger back, where he's able to take Cook off the dribble if he needs to, and then in pick and roll, if the Warriors are giving him that mid-range shot, he will take it, or if not, he'll try to get into the lane and get to the foul line like you saw him do. So again, an aggressive Tony Parker is really a benefit for San Antonio in this series. Last thing I wrote here, last few things I wrote for offense, you know, the Spurs got to continue to drive on those closeouts pretty aggressively. You saw Manu do that. You saw Rudy Gay, Kyle Anderson. That's something, again, if the Warriors are going to close out on their three-point shooters, they do want to try to either drive in hard and open some space to try to either kick out for an open shooter or try to get to the foul line or try to finish at the rim against that Warriors defense, because there was a lot of dribble penetration happening in that game. But something to watch again is that Golden State's defense should be a lot more active and energetic in Game 5, especially after losing this past game. Some other last few offensive adjustments I wrote was, again, as mentioned earlier, they got to make the open shots if they're presented. The Spurs need to try to continue to keep that tempo really slow. In this win, the Spurs held The game was played at a pace of 90.92 possessions per 48 minutes, and that's something, again, that favors San Antonio, a slower pace, so that you don't let Golden State get out in the open court. When you get the Warriors in a half-court set on offense and you're guarding them, it makes it easier for San Antonio's defense, because really all you have to worry about in a possession is mainly Durant and Klay Thompson, rather than having to worry about, you know, with Steph Curry out right now, it's a little bit easier, I would say, if you're the Spurs, to try to guard Golden State in the half court. And then last thing I wrote for offensive adjustments, if you're the Spurs, is, like I mentioned, just anticipate a more energetic Warriors defense. You know, they're going to have their home crowd behind them. They're going to have a lot more energy. They're going to probably, ramp it up like you saw them do in games one and two on the road, whether that's in the first half or if it only comes out in the second half. The Spurs need to be ready to not try to turn the ball over in the event that they do see Golden State ramp up their defense. I'm going to take a quick break and I'll be right back.
This podcast is brought to you by ADT. When it comes to something as important as your family's safety, you need real protection with ADT. What does real protection mean for you? Well, real protection means you can get all of the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT, combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You'll get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you, including 18,000 employees safeguarding you and your family, along with a connection to first responders. Your secure smart home includes everything from video doorbells and indoor and outdoor cameras to smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT Go app or the sound of your voice. You can also get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Everything is custom designed to fit your home, all from the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can even get safety on the go, in the car, or when the kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. Ready to learn more? Visit ADT.com/podcast to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.
Thank you for listening to SpursCast, episode 494. My name is Paul Garcia. I'm the host of SpursCast, going solo for this episode 494. Last topic, not really a topic, but anyway, last part of the episode, let's go ahead and preview Game 5. This will be played Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. if you're living in Texas. The game will be taking place in Oakland. Right now, Las Vegas has the Warriors favored by 11 points. So obviously, Vegas is expecting a closeout, a gentleman's sweep, as they call it in basketball terms. So Vegas is projecting Warriors by 11. You know, I was wrong in my last prediction. I had said I thought that the Spurs would lose that final game. I thought they would play a much closer game, but they ended up winning. I still, again, that was just looking at the. I think San Antonio has a chance here, especially if they can do two major things here: try to limit Klay as much as possible, and try to make threes. If those two things happen, then I can see San Antonio getting a win, a surprising win on the road at Oakland, and bringing the series back to San Antonio on Thursday. But I just don't. It's not really the Klay part. It's more the offensive part, the shot making, that I don't trust as much for the Spurs. I just haven't seen it. I'm a person who uses large sample sizes rather than just one game sample sizes. And again, for the Spurs too, make 10 of 16 wide open threes and then go 15 of 28 and almost break a franchise record in threes made on one random night, compared to their entire playoff run where they were just having trouble. And even their regular season going into the playoffs, they were having trouble. I'd still trust a larger sample size, thinking that San Antonio won't shoot this well from three. So I'm going to go ahead and take Warriors in this one to close out the series. Thank you for listening to SpursCast episode 494. If you're on Twitter, follow us at Project Spurs, at @ATLeague_NBA, at the SpursCast, and at Project Spurs Network. Visit us at ProjectSpurs.com, AnalyzingTheLeague.com, and ProjectSpurs.net. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, please leave us a rating and review. Thank you. Have a great day.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.